With Yanto, with his dad who died on the scene, Junior scarcely noticed the doctor and Martha's departure. He accepted their promises to come back for his next birthday, 5 minutes for them, a crucial year for Yanto, Jack, and Junior, with an absent, "Yeah, okay." He insisted on both Jack and Yanto walking him to school, which made Jack laugh. When Junior had skipped a few steps ahead, too excited to keep pace with the sauntering adults, Jack murmured, "He hasn't let me walk him further than the garden gate since the second week. Too old for Dad to go with him to school, you know?" Yanto smiled back, even as he realized that this was such a fatherly thing to say, coming out of Jack's mouth. The sensation only intensified when they encountered Junior's teacher outside the school, and Jack made introductions. Yanto was fascinated to learn that he had been working for Torchwood on a special assignment at a rather primitive field office for the last several years, unfortunately cut off from communication. All true, he supposed, from the vantage point of the 23rd century. He had been granted a long leave to spend with Jack and their son, but would be going away again on duty eventually. All the while, Jack was friendly, not particularly exerting himself to be charming, though Miss Abernathy was a fairly pretty woman, not much older than Yanto. She was also Jack's son's primary school teacher, someone he knew in a perfectly ordinary way, like a perfectly ordinary person. When they left the school, striking off in a different direction through the village, Yanto watched Jack's face. Knowing it was there, looking for it, he could see it. Jack was older. Different, really, not his Jack at all, when he paid attention. Junior's Jack, not Yanto's. Jack just raised his eyebrows. Yanto looked away. The village hardly looked like the future at all, except that it turned out Jack's trousers weren't a particularly unusual color. People nodded and waved to Jack in the corner of his eye. Jack returned the greetings without encouraging anyone to come closer. "Just wondering what you've been up to for 200 years," Yanto said, as lightly as he could. "You've changed." "Yeah," Jack said easily. "So much for kids keeping you young. Indy's given me at least 6 gray hairs since he was born, and I'm sure that will take off exponentially once he's hit puberty. I'll be looking my age in no time." Yanto looked back at him, but Jack was staring forward now. "It's a big house," Jack said idly. "Too big, really. I only bought it because it's been in Wales longer than I have, and that makes it a little easier to take seriously. There aren't a lot of 400-year-old bungalows around." And next, of course, would follow the polite offer of a separate room. Jack would find some way to tell him he didn't expect anything, that he wouldn't presume upon Yanto's relationship with him 200 years ago now, that he has changed into someone Yanto might not like as well as the one he'd left. Yanto caught Jack's arm and tugged, hoped that the future was futuristic enough for this to pass in the middle of the street in a small Welsh village, and kissed Jack firmly on the mouth. Jack came up for air with a smile on his face, and Yanto said, "I don't mind a change." Jack grinned. "Well, I don't mind if you slip and call me by his name, and it saves me the trouble of seducing you all over again." Yanto snorted. "That issue would only arise if you had ever seduced me in the first place." Jack raised his eyebrows and said, "Refresh my memory. How did we come by our son, then?" Yanto shook his head. "There was plenty of shagging, Jack, but you didn't seduce me unless holding still while I got a running start to throw myself at you counts as seduction." "Ah," Jack said, looping his arms through Yanto's and tugging him along. "I took the Zen approach." Yanto gave up. "So what have you been doing for 200 years? "After your time, I stayed on at Torchwood another 30 or 40 years, I think." Jack glanced in his direction and then away again, his voice falsely light. even after I stopped really missing you, you were always one of the ones I expected to see when I turned around. I'd been there so long by then, I'd picked up a few ghosts. Alex, too. I saw Alex die, but there were days when I thought... Jack shook his head. Eventually, I realized it was time to leave. I looked around Earth for a while, enjoying a third, well, fourth or fifth, adolescence, and then I got off planet for a while. Had a lot of sex, and even more fun. Fought crime, did crime. Went to jail, but never for anything serious. Took other people to jail, but only when it was very serious. Fell in love a few times. Spent 18 years married. Yanto didn't know whether he expected to feel more jealous than he did. It was just more Jack's stories of his past, even if his past was technically in Yanto's future. Still, as always, there was a niggling, stupid thread of envy toward the others.
Jack squinted.
23 years, then, and 6 days, but that was strictly for ceremonial purposes, and to save the galaxy, and it didn't count because we're not even the same species anyway. Well, naturally. Jack shot him a smile. But Elise, yeah, that was 18 years in one shot. I met her first when she was, God, younger than you. Too young. And I knew it, for once. The next time I met her, she was married, and a mother, and too smart to have me interfering with her happy home. But we got to be friends anyway. Good friends. She kept me pretty well away from her husband and kids, which worked out fine until 20 years later when he died, and the kids thought I was a scandalous younger man hitting on the widow at the funeral. Yanto raised an eyebrow. I wasn't, Jack said, sounding almost genuinely aggrieved. And we waited 6 months before we got married. And it was... Honestly, it was none of their business, but she'd got used to not being alone. Yanto considered this all the way to the end of the street. Jack had known this woman 38 years longer than Yanto had been alive, or was likely to ever be, and he'd spent half that time married to her. But... You were the wicked stepfather. Oh my God, I have never had people hate me that much without attempting homicide, Jack said. Mind you, I thought it might come to that at a few family gatherings. I still wake up in a cold sweat thinking Indy's going to turn 17 and suddenly develop Tori's personality. Yanto thought of the things he'd said to his own father at that age and winced. Well, 17's hard on a lot of people. Jack shook his head, though he didn't seem to be disagreeing. Yanto attempted to imagine Jack at 17 and gave up almost at once. It put me off having him a little, but I kept thinking I could do better with an early start. So eventually I came back to Wales and settled down, and here we are. Jack appeared to mean that last in more than one sense, opening the front door of an ordinary-looking white cottage and gesturing for Yanto to precede him inside. Med-center, Jack explained, as they entered the front room, which looked oddly just like a little doctor's office, waiting room at home, brightly colored leaflets on the end tables and all. We need to get your bronchitis taken care of, especially if you started a course of antibiotics for it. You didn't bring them with you, I take it. Jack looked Yanto up and down, and Yanto was suddenly acutely aware he was embarking on a year in a strange place with nothing but the clothes he stood up in. He confined himself to a simple, no. Jack nodded, looking idly around. There was no one at the desk at the back of the room, but Jack didn't seem concerned to remedy this situation. It's a good thing you didn't. The old antibiotics are banned toxic substances these days. They might have had to arrest you. Ah. Yanto tried to picture it and failed abjectly. That wouldn't have been an auspicious start. Not much, Ah, Jana. A blonde woman, wearing a reassuring white coat over her orange-red trousers, came out and met them at the desk, picking up something shaped like a clipboard that almost certainly wasn't. Jana, my partner and co-parent, Yonto Jones. Yonto? Dr. Jana Mathis. Jana shook Yonto's hand, looking him up and down assessingly. Yonto tried to keep a straight face while he wondered what this woman had ever done to Jack that he immediately went so far as partner and co-parent when introducing him to her. Yonto Jones Sr., then, she said. Her accent was Welsh, but strange to Yonto's ears. It took him an extra second to parse everything she said. I take it the reports of your death were greatly exaggerated? Yonto glanced at Jack, who did not immediately offer an answer. Premature, at least. Jana's eyebrows rose, and Jack finally deigned to jump in, explaining again that Yonto worked for Torchwood and had been incommunicado somewhere unspecified, whence he would return in a year or so. Might as well take a baseline scan and start a file, then, Jana said, turning to lead them into a back room. Because, of course, you've brought him right down for a preventative care visit, haven't you, Jack? And not paraded him through the village when there was any possibility of spreading an exotic and contagious condition. Jack smiled at the back of Jana's head. Yonto rolled his eyes. It's a touch of bronchitis, I'm afraid, he offered. And Jana let him into what must have been an examination room, though it lacked most of the familiar accoutrements. I've spoken to Junior and Miss Abernathy at his school, and Jack, obviously. Oh, good. I was afraid it was going to be people who'd have extensive contact with more immunologically vulnerable members of the population, Jana said, shooting Jack a wry look. Briefly involved, Yonto decided. You can take care of it, can't you? Jack's voice was a little sharp, forestalling further speculation. Jana shook her head, visibly giving up the question, at least for the moment. Of course I can. Yonto, if you haven't registered a religious or ethical objection to bacteriophages, I'll give you a run of those, as well as an immune system boost. Airborne illness is a public health matter. Treatment is compulsory. Yonto glanced at Jack again, then said, I don't think I have anything registered at all. Yes, I'm noticing that, Jana said, exchanging a look Yonto couldn't quite read with Jack. Jack lifted his chin a fraction, and Jana shook her head again. Bloody Torchwood. All right. The actual treatment of Yonto's illness had required only a few minutes of inhaling some chemical mint-scented gas from a small mask. Jana had monitored him for several minutes to see if he was reacting properly, and she and Jack had taken up the time rehashing what seemed to be quite an old and not entirely theoretical debate about handling of possible future epidemics in the village. Yonto suppressed the urge to take actual notes, but found himself memorizing the bullet points anyway. Afterward, they set out back toward Jack's house. Yonto occupied himself with enjoying his rapidly improving lung capacity. Jack still appeared to be contemplating quarantine procedures, or possibly contemplating Jana. And either way, Yonto was content not to interrupt him. He had an entire year to work out exactly what was going on, after all. There were two men standing at the garden gate, in what Yonto concluded after a few moments' scrutiny must be the current equivalent to a three-piece suit, despite the blinding array of colors. Jack rather pointedly took Yonto's hand as they approached. Yonto thought of what Jack had said about him being arrested, about how Jana had obviously known something was odd about him, and tightened his hand in Jack's. Yonto Jones, Torchwood Cardiff, the man on the left said as they approached. Born August the 19th, 1983. Veteran of Canary Wharf. Defender of the Earth. Yonto stopped short. Jack squeezed his hand. "You're not bad," Jack said. "Not bad at all." The one on the right said, "You know we keep an eye on you, Captain. Mr. Jones is in the archives, all right and proper." "I'm sorry," Yonto said, trying not to sound bewildered. They had to be Torchwood if they knew who he was, but Jack didn't seem to think there was a problem with them turning up at his home. Jack hadn't said anything about what he was doing these days, apart from raising Junior in Wales, and Cardiff wasn't far. "Is there a problem?" Both of them turned to face him, straightening to something like attention. "Not at all, Mr. Jones, sir. It's not every year that we get to administer the Torchwood pension plan for a temporarily displaced operative. It's exciting for us, to be honest." Yonto stared. "I'm a pensioner now?" "Well," Jack said, dropping his arm to sling an arm around Yonto's waist, "technically speaking, you are a bit past retirement age." The hypocrisy, even in obvious jest, was for a moment literally breathtaking. The man on the left waved a small device, a computer, or something like it, Yonto supposed. "We've registered the local identity for you, so you shouldn't run into any further problems. If you'll just give me your hand, I can place your ident chip." Yonto looked sideways at Jack, and he shrugged and patted Yonto's hip. "Indy has one. I don't. It's up to you." If Jack thought it was dangerous, he wouldn't have let them install one on his son. "Still, when I go home..." "It's an entirely passive technology," the man on the left assured him. "It has to be contacted on a very particular frequency for the information to be accessed." Yonto gave up, extending his right hand. There was a brief, impersonal pressure of the other man's hand around his, and then a stunningly sharp pain in his thumb. Yonto jerked his hand back, reflexively, swallowing curses and stopping just short of sticking the offended thumb into his mouth. Jack laughed, loud and startled-sounding, and Yonto glared at him, shaking his hand against the sting. "Sorry," Jack said, grinning unrepentantly. "Sorry, sorry." He caught Yonto's hand and carefully kissed the tip of his thumb. There wasn't even blood, Yonto noticed, and already the sting was fading into a throbbing ache. Then he kissed Yonto's forehead, gathering him into a hug, and then his lips. "Sorry," Jack repeated, still smiling. "It's just your son made exactly the same face." On Thursday, which was not, for reasons Anto didn't entirely understand, a school day, Junior looked at him across the breakfast table and announced, "You need new clothes." Yonto couldn't argue. He'd been running his things through the off-puttingly silent and waterless cleaner when he showered, but he couldn't actually keep wearing the same jeans and shirt for an entire year. Yonto looked to Jack, who had such an entirely innocent air about him that Yonto immediately smelled conspiracy. "Jack?" "I wasn't going to say anything," he remarked to his breakfast, "but if you wanted to go shopping..." "Cardiff," Junior crowed. "Cardiff, Cardiff." "Upper Cardiff," Jack corrected, and then gave Yonto a more thoughtful look. "You haven't tried to access any recent history or current events on the household system." It wasn't a question. Yonto supposed his ident chip would have logged him in and left evidence for Jack to find. As it happened, though, he found watching cartoons with Junior quite overwhelmingly enough. What Junior called a cartoon was something between a video game and an acid trip, without going looking for things he shouldn't know. It didn't seem wise. "No," Jack said. "You'll find you're locked out of the entire 21st century, but it will soon become apparent to you that Cardiff isn't quite where you left it." Yonto raised his eyebrows. "Most of it fell into the rift a while back," Jack said, rather more breezily than Yonto thought warranted, considering. "Torchwood did all right. The city was nearly perfectly evacuated before it fell. and they called in the big guns and finally got the thing sealed up. I guess we should have done that years ago. But anyway, Cardiff mostly vanished, and the sea took what was left. The old M4 is nearly a coastal road in places now. Yanto tried to assimilate that. He'd have to look at a map later. He couldn't quite fathom it all being gone. Cardiff, the hub, his flat, the shops where he'd bought toner and ammunition, and newer old buttons for Jack's coat. He wondered if that was what killed him, or if he had been dead before it happened. He rather hoped it was the latter, so that he wouldn't have to see it, nor be responsible for not preventing it. Though Jack made it sound rather like a natural disaster, and apparently whoever had been on the spot had nearly perfectly evacuated the city. Gwen, he thought, recalling, days ago, centuries ago, the sound of her voice managing the evacuations out to Flat Home Island. He wondered if even Nat had survived. So, Upper Cardiff? That's what they call what was left. The city reformed on higher ground. This village was far enough back to stay separate. Yanto stared down at his breakfast a bit longer. Well, he said, finally, I do need new clothes. Junior cheered. Everyone really did wear those bloody rust-colored trousers. Yanto stuck out badly in his blue jeans, and thought he would go blind from the brightness of the crowds around them. The clothing racks were even worse. He had money. He looked himself up on the household information system to see what he ought to know, and apparently the Torchwood pension plan treated its temporarily displaced operatives rather generously. Yanto doubted there were enough of them, or enough pensioners of any description, to require much rationing. He seemed to have enough to buy whatever he liked, and quite nice ones, but he couldn't find anything that wasn't eyeball-scarring, no matter how enthusiastically Jack and Junior suggested different versions of exactly the same thing. Yanto was a little frustrated, a little weirded out, no more than that. He was Torchwood, wasn't he? He saw a dozen impossible things before breakfast every day and made coffee for three of them. And so he found it a bit surprising to realize that he was sitting on the floor of a changing cubicle with his hands over his eyes, hyperventilating and shivering. Yanto? Junior, of course. Yes, he managed, breathless. Just one moment. There was a silence outside, and then Junior said, Don't move. I'll get Dad. Fuck, Yanto sighed, and got unsteadily to his knees, which was when he noticed that he was wearing a pair of the rust-colored trousers. The last several minutes came a bit more sharply into focus. Christ, he was in the future. The bloody future, with Jack and their son. Cardiff had fallen into the rift, and everything and everyone he knew was dead, buried, disintegrated, and drowned, and he had to put his head back down for a moment. Yanto? Jack's voice barely preceded the opening of the door, though Yanto could have sworn he'd latched it. Yanto tried very hard to beam go away, having a nervous breakdown to Jack's mind without saying anything or opening his eyes. Oh, hey. Jack was suddenly close. Close enough to smell over the new clothes and plastic scent of the cubicle, and Yanto could feel his hands hovering, not quite touching. As ever, Jack's presence was an anchor, and Yanto felt the blind panic back off enough to let in massive humiliation. Shit, I really thought you were in the clear when we got through lunch. Lunch? Lunch had been fine. Weird, the way eating in a foreign place always was. It had been jarring sometimes in its almost familiarity, but Jack and Junior had been there, keeping him from thinking too much about where exactly they were and why it was foreign. But now, shut in a cubicle alone with a mirror... Sorry, he managed, and waved a hand at himself in explanation. He was going to be ready to open his eyes any second now. Just sorry. Oh, Jack said. Yeah, here. There were hands on him then, and the very familiar sensation of Jack rapidly and efficiently undoing his trousers. You know, Jack murmured in his ear, in what Yanto distantly recognized as his very gentlest teasing tone, when I pictured sending Indy off on an errand and getting you naked in these change rooms, this is not quite how I pictured it. Yanto's laugh caught in his throat, and he wheezed out another. Sorry, fuck, sorry. Shh, no, hey. Jack paused in undressing him to curl a hand around the bare skin at the back of his neck, warm and reassuring. You haven't even begun to embarrass yourself yet, honestly. Jack tugged the trousers down, and Yanto twisted to help. Jack kept talking without missing a beat. Come talk to me when your first real case of culture shock results in unlawful assault on a foreign dignitary and a medium-sized diplomatic incident, and then you can talk about indignity. Yanto's bare knees touched the cool, smooth floor, and he opened his eyes to look at Jack, who was holding Yanto's jeans in one hand, obviously hiding the offending trousers behind his back with the other. Yanto took the jeans from Jack and raised an eyebrow. It was the eye stalks, Jack said, raising his empty hand to make an illustrative gesture. Just like the sand slipper crabs back home. Ugh, the way they moved. I could never stand those things. Yanto realized Jack was wearing a very slightly different pair of trousers to what Yanto had last seen. Were you trying those on? Oh, Jack said, and straightened up to look down at himself as Yanto stood to step back into his jeans. Yeah, looks like I bought them, actually. Jack flipped the tag to show Yanto. The not-quite paper had changed from a price tag to a receipt. Jack had been wearing them long enough to trigger the automatic sale. What do you think? Jack said, turning to check himself in the mirror. Yanto shrugged. They fit as impeccably as the last pair. Beyond that, Yanto didn't feel up to making judgments. Is there some reason everyone decided to wear orange this season? It's rust, and it's been about 15 years now. Just because you were born in the middle of 2 centuries of absolutely everyone wearing blue doesn't make it the only acceptable color, you know. After blue, there was a gray period, and then red striped with one other color for about 10 years, and then brown, which got progressively more russet. When Indy was born, the high fashion set really were wearing true bright orange, and I was tempted to stuff him back into the amphora to save him from the horror. Rust's not so bad. Good, Yanto said, reaching toward Jack's left hand to retrieve the trousers he'd been trying on, because I'm pretty sure I just bought these. Jack jerked them away. We can return them. There's a tailor's a couple streets over. He does vintage stuff. We'll get you some more blue. Thank you, yes, Yanto said, getting hold of Jack's shirt with one hand and catching the trousers with the other. I would appreciate that. But I also bought these, and I will be keeping them. Yanto, you don't... They were almost nose to nose, and Yanto lifted his chin and looked Jack straight in the eye. How long between your first bad case of culture shock and the first time you had sex with someone with eye stalks? Yanto could see how badly Jack wanted to break eye contact. His smile was entirely caught out and false. Yanto kicked his toe against Jack's, and Jack sighed, surrendered, and handed over Yanto's purchase. That's why it was only a medium-sized diplomatic incident, actually. Quite, Yanto said, folding the trousers neatly and tucking them under his arm. I rest my case.